Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to offer what I consider my Christmas sermon. And by the way, I printed two copies so that you can see how badly I read. Okay, we'll start over. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to offer what I consider my Christmas sermon. I know that many of us do not look upon Christmas in the same manner. If you ask a dozen people exactly what Christmas means to them, you may get a dozen different variations. The people that make and sell Christmas cards probably enjoy their work the most, especially if the number of sales are great. Those that sell toys for the children are anxious that most of their stock is sold. Those that sell toys for adults might even be more delighted for brisk sales. The adult toys are much more expensive, so their sales in dollars is the greatest. When we are young, we're often led to believe in Santa Claus. When we get older, we learn not to believe in Santa Claus. And when we get older still, we become Santa Claus. Depending on how intense we're taught about Santa Claus, the greater the disappointment is when we learn that it was a farce. Then, when as adults, our interest is perhaps the greatest in teaching the wee ones about the guy with the red suit that comes down the chimney, and the reindeer with the red nose, the sleigh and the bells are important items. What would Christmas be without a Christmas tree? When I was little, I thought that all Christmas trees were red cedar, because that was what was readily available in St. Clair County. My parents didn't seem to get too excited about Christmas, at least not as much as many of the neighbors. The first Christmas tree that I remember in our house, I cut it and brought it in. I asked if I could have a Christmas tree and was told yes, but I couldn't put candles on it because of the fire hazard. Of course, that was long before we had electricity, and the only Christmas lights were lighted candles. Dad thought too much of the house to let me or someone else burn it down. Of course, I grew up during Depression years, so there were very few, if any, Christmas toys. But I found out later that there probably wouldn't have been many toys, even in better times. I should say that they just didn't believe in Christmas. Consequently, I grew up not believing in Christmas, such as Santa coming down the chimney, when there was a hot fire going up the chimney to keep warm by. We had any temperature that one might want. If you're too cold, you got close to the stove. If you're too hot, you backed away. And if your face was too hot, you turned your back to the stove. And if your back was too hot, you faced the stove. A wonderful heating system. There were a few that just didn't believe in the foolishness of Santa Claus, reindeer, sleighs, and sleigh bells. But the ones that seemed to have the greatest interest was those that sold items for Christmas. The major shopkeepers were often Jewish faith. The Jews did not, and for most part still don't believe in Christ, because they are the ones that crucified him. But they sure like the money they can make selling Christmas items. There was a move from time to time to try to accommodate those of other faith than Christians. The first that I remember was to change Christmas to Xmas, which brought a howl from those that thought Christ had been left out of Christmas. Then Happy Holidays was substituted for Christmas with the same result. Perhaps Christ was never in Christmas. And if he wasn't, how could he be left out? I believe that Christians is a conjunction of the words of Christ and Mass, with Mass being a Catholic term. I do not find the term Christmas in the Bible or the Book of Mormon, nor do I find anything to lead me to think that Christ was born on December the 25th. If he was not born on December the 25th, how could we be left out of the Christmas? So just when do we think that Christmas is? That is simple. It is on December the 25th. Then just when do we think that Christ was born? If we really want to know, perhaps we should just read the Bible. Both Matthew and Luke wrote about his birth, but Luke wrote the best narrative. Will you turn to the book of Luke with me? Beginning with the first chapter. The first four verses are sort of a preamble, but let's read them first. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Then he gets to the meat of the subject in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Betty and I are almost
there. That picture?
Now. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in this, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. You might say, Jack,
that's all about John the Baptist.
True.
It is.
So let's go a little further and read verse 26.
Tucked neatly in the story.
And in the sixth month,
the angel Gabriel
was sent from God unto a city of Galilee
named Nazareth,
to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now let's count. January, February, March, April, May, and June. June is the sixth month of the year. Not the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. If Mary conceived in June, then she should deliver in March. In months of the biblical times, each month contained 360 days, each month contained 30 days, and there were 12 months, which makes 360 days in prophetic years. That would leave approximately 5 1/4 days to account for. In our calendar called Gregorian calendar, we scatter these days amongst the months. It is my belief, and you don't need to agree with me if you don't want to, I believe that the new year should start with the shortest day of the year. This is either December the 21st or the 22nd. However, Pope Gregory started it 8 days or 9 days later. This makes Mary's delivery date as late as April the 8th or 9th. Could be that late. Only recently have I heard Alan say that God seemed to want April 6th to be the date of the restoration of the Church of Christ. I'm not saying that Christ was born on April the 6th or the equivalent. But what I'm saying is that it is possible. But whether he was born in March or April removes the possibility that he was born in December the 25th or even close to it. That is a date given to us by the Catholic Church to steer us astray. I find nothing in the Bible or Book of Mormon to give a hint of Mary's age. So when I heard the governor of Arkansas, ex-governor of Arkansas, declare she was 14, I was astounded. When I heard one of our own elders declare that she was 14 and was a scared kid, and then asked Shayla how old she is, I was really upset. I was really upset. I find nothing but praise of the Lord from Mary in the book of Luke, which doesn't sound like a scared kid. So why am I so against Christmas? Did I say I'm against Christmas? Anyone that wants to decorate for Christmas and cook a fine meal for Christmas dinner and buy a present for someone, go ahead. But realize that it has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. That is Pope Gregory trying to lead us astray. Easter Sunday, with all the rabbits and rabbit eggs, is misleading too. The Book of Mormon gives the exact date. If you remember, Samuel the Lamanite foretold both Christ's birth and his death, and of course his resurrection. There would be 2 days without a night, with a new star appearing, and 3 days of darkness during his crucifixion and resurrection. Look in 3 Nephi, page 623 and 624, actually 624. Let's read that. I didn't write it down, sorry. Yeah, maybe it's worthwhile to read from the first of the chapter. And that came to pass that according to our record, and we know our record to be true, for behold, it was a just man which did keep the record, for he truly did many miracles in the name of Jesus. And there was not any man which could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from his iniquity. Now it came to pass, if there was no mistake made by this man in the reckoning of our time, the 33rd year had passed away. The 33rd year, I don't know where that's from or to, but I'm talking about the time of the year, not the number of years. And the people began to look with great earnestness for the sign which had been given by the prophet Samuel the Lamanite. Yea, for the time that there should be darkness for the space of 3 days over the face of the land. And there began to be great doubtings and disputations among the people, notwithstanding so many signs had been given. And it came to pass in the 34th year, in the first month, in the 4th day of the month, there arose a great storm which such as one had never been known at all in all the land. If I was to read the whole story here, we'd be here another 2 hours. So I'm going to stop right there as far as reading is concerned. But it was on the 4th day of January. Well, back in those days we didn't have Januaries, but it was the 4th day of the month, whatever the month was called. And again, if their year started with the shortest day of December the 21st in the northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, of course, that's the longest day of the month, year, in the northern hemisphere, and he was crucified on the 4th day, wouldn't that be December the 25th that he was crucified? Do you suppose that Lucifer laughs when he celebrates his birth on the day of his crucifixion? Of course, I may be a few days off, but I am sure that the Catholic Church is not even close, and the Pope knows it. Now that I've dragged Shaley into it, could Christ have had red hair? What does the Bible say? Doesn't say. They say it wasn't dead. Certainly not red hair on that picture or drawing, whatever would be properly called. So I suggest that he could have been redheaded. I don't say that he is, but he could have been. We don't know. It doesn't matter. But Mary, which she was sort of likened to in 14, the same as Shayla was 14. I choose to think she was maybe 22. Why 22? Well, pick any you want, because we don't know what was right and wrong. But an age to be proud to be the mother of Jesus. Not a scared kid.
the manger that Mary placed her baby in swaddling clothes. Whatever that is, I don't know. I've heard the explanations for it, but I don't suppose they were right. I don't think it makes any difference what kind of clothes he had, but he did have some clothes. He wasn't completely naked. I don't think it was in December. If their December is anything like our Decembers usually are. She'd had him hugged up close to her to help keep him warm. He wouldn't lay in the manger by himself. Sometime in April or later March? Yes. Wouldn't need any extra heat. And the shepherds that were tending their flocks by night, where were they? They were out on the open range. They were keeping, taking care of their flocks. What on what's a flock? Was that sheep, cows, goats? Maybe a mixture of all three. Who knows? The stalls that we build, or at least used to build, to keep our animals in the wintertime. And we had a manger to feed the hay in, and maybe even some ground feed in the bottom. In April, was of no use. They were cleaned out. Hopefully maybe the manure was cleaned out of the barn and bred on the fields. That the place where she gave birth was not nasty. And the place that she placed her child was comfortable. And it wouldn't be comfortable in December. I don't know why I never saw the words before that said that Gabriel came to her on the sixth month. Don't know why I didn't see it. I'm getting pretty old to have missed it that many times. But I suppose usually when we think of the Christmas story, we don't start with Zacharias. We jump over to the next chapter or so, when the actual was born, rather than at the time it was conceived. But whether I'm right that he could have been born on 6th of April. That'd have been a great time for restoration of this church, wouldn't it? And if he was crucified on the 25th of December, that'd be a great time for the Pope to have us to celebrate his birth. But the fact that he was born, the only begotten Son of God, not the only Son of God, oh no, not by a long shot. We can all be sons and daughters of God. The only one begotten Son. Only one that was born as a son the rest of us is through baptism. But we can, there's lots of sons of God, has been for years and years and years and years. But what we do with that which we know, what we do with that which we at least believe that God would have us to do, is what's important for our soul's salvation. We are told to take the written word, and the written word says March, or maybe April, for his birth. I guess I came as a shock to Betty. Soon after we were married, but I didn't quite have the same perspective of Christmas that she grew up with. Was I right particularly? Maybe not. I don't know. But I don't wish to criticize and condemn people for their desires to have a Merry Christmas. We can have enjoyment of several holidays if we want, but if we can remember that's what it is, that it wasn't really the birth of Christ. Thank you. I guess Roger Bruner will be our speaker next Sunday. And that will be our dinner Sunday. And would you be available for the Sunday after? That'd be the fourth Sunday of them.